Blog Talk Radio.
If we're on, so if you are on, press 1 in the queue. I guess I can't see you. So if you know my phone number, I'll just give my phone number at this time, 770-900-0118. That's 770-900-0118. Let me know. Well, praise God. I've gotten some thumbs up already, so praise God. My board is blank. But nevertheless, God still has a word for us on high. And welcome, welcome, welcome to Empowered to Change, Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And I'm so excited that you tuned in on this wonderful, wonderful Monday night, one we've never seen and one we will never see again. But I am happy and I am thrilled that you are here. My name is Leah Killings, Dr. Happy to Most, praise God, but whatever you call me a child of God. I am so excited for those of you that this is your very first time tuning in. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Our goal is to educate, to empower, and to encourage. We want to make sure that we always give an encouraging word from God on high. And then we want to make sure that we give you some information. May not be a brand new topic, but it's definitely one that you can learn something from, that you can inspire, and that you can research on your own to find out exactly what God would have for you. And so that's the aspect of us educating. And then, praise God, we want you to make the necessary changes that God leads you to and be empowered to do them, and then not keep it to yourself, but be empowered to share it with someone else. So if this is your very first time listening in, welcome, welcome, welcome. For those of you that have been on the broadcast, for praise God, can you believe it's been 10 years we've been in this vein? It is amazing that God has blessed me to be here. And whether you've listened for 2 weeks in a row, 2 months in a row, 2 years in a row, 5 years, 8 years, the whole 10, amen. I am grateful that you tune in every week and that you tell other people and then you tell me and you keep me encouraged and keep me motivated to do what God has called me to do. And so that is to teach the word of God. And so I'm so, so excited for those of you that have prayed for me and kept me encouraged and kept me focused on doing what God calls me to do. And so I thank you for that. Now, it wouldn't be me to not include these two wonderful people, Jesse and Tammy Stewart, because praise God, without their help, without their motivation, without their example, without their prayers, I wouldn't have known that this was a platform for me. And so praise God, they provided the platform for me, and I am grateful that they have been true these 10 years. Well, I've known them more than 10 years, but nevertheless, they have always been an example of leadership, respect, and encouragement. And so I always want to make sure I call them out by name and the Omega Ministry Group, because praise God, that ministry continues to pray for me. And so I have to acknowledge them. Now, the greatest praise, of course, has to go to our Father. He's my Father and He's your Father, whether you know it or not. He's all of our fathers, and praise God for that. And so we always want to make sure that we start out with an upbeat song, because when Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. And when He says no, nobody can say yes. But nevertheless, praise God, we know that He's in control. And so we always want to, like I said, start with an upbeat song. I acknowledge those of you that are listening. And then, praise God, we go to a word of prayer to acknowledge our Father. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before You thanking You for Your wonderful blessings. We thank You, Father, for waking us up this morning and giving us Your precious gift of life. We thank You, Father, for allowing us to know You and to get to know You better by allowing us to use the resources that You've left for us. We thank You, Father, for the Word. We thank You that it's a roadmap and it is a plan, the path to all of our understanding. We thank You, Father, that You just didn't leave us with Your Word, but You allowed the Holy Spirit to couple with it and to make sure that the things that we don't understand, that You give us revelation to understand it, that it doesn't become or isn't a mystery, that You allow us to be able to develop. And those of us that, praise God, started our milk, Father, You allow us to continue to nurture and grow till we can get on meat. And those of us, Father, that slow to grow, amen, we thank You, Father, that You give us nudges and You give us instructors and teachers and people that are prepared to study the Word, to break it down for our understanding so that we can get the nuggets that You have for us. So allow us, Father, to use those nuggets, to hide it in our hearts so that we won't sin against it, but to remember it so we want to do right, Father. So we just thank You, thank You, thank You for all that You will do and all that You're doing for us in this time that we live in. We thank You, Father, for allowing us again to have resources to know more about You, so that we can be dedicated and devoted to You. We want to be able to live the life in this world, to share the light, combine them. Thank You, Lord. To make sure that people know who You are and they are led back to You. So give us what we need. Let me join You, Father, and share what You have laid on my heart to share on tonight. Let it be encouragement. Let it be an empowerment to someone who may be weary or someone who may be downtrodden and need to be encouraged, to be lifted, to push a little harder. We thank You again, Father, for all that you've done, all that You're doing, and all that You will do in our lives. And we thank You for the blessing of being able to just know who You are. We thank You for being the vine and we being branches, And thank you for Lord letting us be connected to you so that we will bear fruit that will remain, because without you, we can do absolutely positively nothing. So we thank you, we love you, we honor you, and we adore you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, saints, praise God. I don't know if you can tell in my voice, I'm not as upbeat and jumpy and excited as I normally am, and so I'm trying to get myself back into that spirit. But I have to kind of share this lesson with you on today from my heart. And I know most of my lessons come from my heart, but today I want to make sure that you understand this whirlpool, if you will, that I feel like I've just been spinning around in, and it happened in a moment. And so I want to share with you why it's important for us to be transparent, and then not only to be transparent, but to give you a solution to help you break free from it, and how sometimes it may take a minute to break free, but nevertheless, God is real, and that he is dedicated to his people. And so I want to share with you from that premise. So if I had to give this a title, the lesson, I would give it, I Have a Dream Too. And so most of you may think, because I said I have a dream, that it's going to be a big Martin Luther King speech. But it has something to do, parts of it has something to do with Martin Luther King, but most of it is that I really do have a dream too. And so my dream is that everybody can be happy, that everybody can always have a smile on their face and be enjoyed and be happy and empowered to share the love of God and to do it with flair and zeal and, you know, whatever it is that we need to make sure that people are just as excited about God and the word, salvation, and living forever and feeling his presence. But say sometimes the enemy, because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he likes to try to make us hide our light. And when he can't make us hide our light, then he throws challenges and situations in our path that dims our light. And so it's so important that we keep the right people around us and that we're in the right organizations and involved with those that can keep us encouraged and keep us motivated in the things of God, because by ourselves, we can't do it. We just cannot do it. And so I'm so grateful that God blessed me to learn John 15:5-7. The first one is, I am the vine and you are the branch. If you remain in me, we have to remain in him to stay encouraged, because the enemy wants us to be pruned and to have our leaves and our fruit to wither and to die. And so when God said that, you know, when he prunes us, those pieces that have died and fallen off, they go by the wayside. And so we don't want to fall by the wayside. We want to keep ourselves refreshed. We want to keep ourselves renewed in the things of God. And so how do we do that? How do we get out of funk sometimes when the enemy just constantly throws and throws and throws? And so sometimes we get caught up and, like, praise God, I've been blessed, and I say blessed, to have had so many challenges thrown at me so quickly and so forcefully, you know, COVID, cancer, aneurysms, strokes, heart attacks. I mean, just stuff that really should have taken me out of this system. And God reminds me of that often. And I know some people get tired of me saying it, but it is amazing, because one of them, just one, I could have died. But he didn't see fit for me to die. He gave me an understanding that I still have my assignment to complete. And so even though I'm excited and have always been excited about the assignment, because, you know, praise God, I've always wanted to be a minister, because I thought it was the coolest thing, until I actually understood what it really meant. It wasn't as cool as it was just to wear a collar and to wear a cape, praise God. It is work. And it is work, and it is hard work, because the enemy wants to shut me up and shut me down. And so he has to throw all the things that he can. And so most of the time I try to keep myself uplifted, and I try to make sure that I pass out happy faces, because I want to be happy, and people call me Dr. Happy. And I mean, all that is great. And as my mentor once said, Leah, you know, you can get caught up in that. You know, you got to be real with your feelings. You got to be real with your emotions, so that God can know how to help you and help you deal with certain things when they come, because every day is not going to be, you know, that you can put that happy face on. You want to be real and you want to be authentic and you want to be transparent. And so, Faith, I have to share with you that I have been really in this funk. And so my birthday came, and I was so excited, you know, praise God that I lived another year, because praise God, that is a feat. Not everybody makes it another year. And some of us make it to our birthdays, and then we transition. And some of us don't make it to our birthdays, and we transition. And some of us, I mean, we just transition. And, you know, over the past couple of weeks, you know, my good friend, you know, passing and just, you know, keeping me in that mindset, especially watching him and listening to him and sitting by his bedside and listening to him cry out to the Lord to make sure that he was right, that he stood right before him so that if he did transition, that he would welcome him home. And I guess, you know, helping, you know, others and, you know, going through the process of helping others, I didn't, I guess, take the time to really process that. And so it was right by my birthday. And so I tend to believe that your birthday is the most important holiday if we're going to celebrate something, because praise God, you don't have to live. And so praise God, because I've gone through as much as I've gone through over the past couple of weeks, I mean, past couple of months and year or so, it is a blessing to live. It is a blessing to be around people that love you, that people express that they love you. However, like I said, I did what I could, you know, for my birthday. Bless my daughter's heart. She had, you know, a couple of events because we didn't really have time to plan anything. But I sent a Facebook message, completely overwhelmed by the support and the love that everyone showed from kindergarten. Can you imagine somebody from my kindergarten class all the way to college, middle school, high school, college, all the colleges, praise God, that I attended. Just, you know, people that I've met along the way, people, different churches, everybody reached out. It was more than 300 or 400 people that reached out and said something to me or spoke over me or blessed me. And it was overwhelming, and I was on such a high because I was so emotionally zapped, I guess, if you will, because it did take a lot out of me trying to build myself up and then not telling people what I was going through. But nevertheless, how quickly that sapped out of me, and it was like I went through a tunnel and it all changed. And I don't know, and I've been trying because I'm an advocate in one of my steps tonight to share you how to get out of this, you know, funk or whatever, is you have to acknowledge the root of where you believe certain things transition. Because like I said, the enemy doesn't do anything new. He's a defeated foe. And so he knows how to motivate you, to stir you up, to get you off center. And so to add to my blessing, the Cancer Treatment Society of America called me this week or last week and asked me to speak on behalf of the survivors for a campaign. And so praise God, you know, that they even think of me to do that. And so, amen, I went in and did my thing. And praise God, I was able to do it in one take because, you know, I'm authentic and I believe what I believe. But nevertheless, I went to see a couple people that I hadn't seen. And just being back in that building brought back so many memories of me being on a walker or being on a cane or needing assistance, not being able to park, you know, and having to be dropped off at the door because I couldn't walk. And I was able to not park in handicap. I parked on the other side on purpose because I could walk. And so it was so refreshing, but it was still sad because I saw so many people that were still struggling and still was going through their journey. God, I was there to give a word of encouragement to the staff, to thank them for doing what they do to keep us motivated, to keep us excited about what God has done. And so in the midst of me visiting, I didn't get to see my main man in the urgent care upstairs, my Dr. Brown, but I did get to see the lady that sits at the front desk. And so we began to start talking, and she shared with me what kind of motivated this message. And she said, you know, there was a time that I knew the Lord, but I didn't quite understand how to witness and how to encourage people to give their life to Christ. And she said that, you know, she started doing this one thing, and she said she was asking people, like, the guarantees, the money-back guarantees. Just give God 30 days. Just give him 30 days and see, you know, just completely yield to him. Give him 30 days. And so I thought, wow, you know what? I will dedicate the broadcast. And so I gave her my information. So, baby girl, if you're listening, God bless you, and thank you for the motivation. And so I call it satisfaction guarantee. Because, you know, praise God, we would love for God to give us the money back nevertheless, but we want to be satisfied. And so in my quest of trying to come up with a plan of action of how to get out of this thing that I'm going through, God helped me understand that some of it was acknowledged from me not really processing my grief. And then the class that I'm teaching now is American government, and then we're doing African-American literature. And with it being Black History Month, you know, just talking about all the people that have done their assignments and how God has moved and allowed things to transition because of their work, and how none of them set out to be famous, none of them set out to be studied in history books. I mean, even including our founding fathers, they wrote what they wrote because they were led. And so they had no idea of the benefit that we would get from doing just their assignment. And so it made me think about, well, Lord, if that is the case, what is the purpose of it all? And so Dr. Bliss, those of you that know, she's been on the show several times, she shared with Leah, you know, that's just how it is. And it's like, but sometimes it's like, why do we exist? Why? And she's like, well, you really know the answer to that, right? And I'm like, yeah, I do. But sometimes it's so overwhelming. Like, all these people have done their assignments, and they're gone, and they've been gone for a long time. And they, too, were waiting for Jesus to come back to Park Sky so we could all get to heaven. And so why is it so long? And so she told me this little story, and so I couldn't stop laughing. But it gave significance, and then I'll move on to our lesson. But she said, she said a lot of stuff, but the one thing that she said to me that made sense was, she said, Leah, let's just look at this cabbage. You know, if cabbage could talk, the mama cabbage would tell the baby cabbage, we're here for them. We have no other purpose other than to grow and to feed the humans. And so one day somebody's going to pick you and they're going to eat you. And if the baby could talk, would be, but mom, why? Why were we born? I mean, why would we plant it? Why did we start the seed? Why did the farmer take so much time to, you know, to nurture us, to grow, for us to be thin and eaten? And that's your purpose. And so I laughed because it was comical, because I could envision a baby cabbage being picked and the mama didn't get picked and she crying and the baby cabbage is crying, but fulfilling the purpose. And so then God helped me understand that we have a purpose to fulfill. And so it doesn't matter our surroundings. It doesn't matter how and the when. We have to be true to our purpose. And so in the midst of my studying these people, I also was able to be blessed to apply for a fellowship. And most of it is still around justice. And it's like, Lord, why is all these words coming back to justice and injustice and people, you know, just fulfilling their assignments? And so when I looked up the word justice is a just behavior or treatment. And another definition is a just or magistrate in a particular of a judge or a Supreme Court of accountability. So justice. So I love the fact that when we talk about injustice, and so, of course, you know, me trying to study for my lessons or to teach my children, I'm watching these movies and seeing the injustices that have been carried out in our system, and how so many people have endured. And so here I am, you know, moaning and groaning, and I don't have half the problems that some of the people in my heritage have endured. And so I have to be reminded. And so the more I prayed, the more I thought about, God, help me understand what my assignment was. And so I remember years ago that I had likened myself unto Jeremiah. And I thought, Lord, I don't want to be a weeping prophet because, praise God, I don't cry. You know, I don't get teary-eyed. That's, you know, of course, my father was an avid anti-crier, if you will. And his philosophy was ask God for wisdom, and with that wisdom, you use the wisdom, find a solution, and do what you need to do. That crying is, you know, after you've accomplished what you need to accomplish because you're having tears of joy, not tears of sorrow, and not all that stuff in between that's preventing you from finding the solution. And so there wasn't much crying, at least for me. I didn't get to do a lot of crying. And so when I studied the story of Jeremiah, I thought, wow, how interesting his passage was, or his storyline was, because even though he pressed and people pressed back, and so sometimes I find myself in that situation. It's like, Lord, I prepared these messages. I prepared this word of encouragement when we ministers, those of us that prepare our sermons, and we preach and we preach and we preach and we teach and we teach and we teach, and the people don't change. And it's like, Lord, why do we go through the energy and the effort? Because at the end of the day, we're studying. The people that we're ministering to, are they really getting it? Are they really studying? Do they really want the information? Are they really paying attention? Are they taking the scriptures that you have laid on our hearts to share with them? Are they taking it home? Are they studying? Are they reading? Are they praying? Are they fasting? Are they applying the word as you told us to tell us, to tell them? And most times, no. And then a lot of times, are we even paying attention to the words that God is ministering through us to do? And so I found myself in this state again where it's like, wow, Lord, how you must feel by it, and how you've done all these things, these miraculous gifts, and how you set up all these scenarios for us to triumph and succeed. And we continue to sin, we continue to fail, we continue to want to stay in these slumps of non-growth. What do we need to do to make us understand that it is necessary for the world in order for us to move to the next level, so that none of us stay on milk, that we progress and we grow to meat? What do we do? And so I'm reminded again of Mr. Jeremiah and why it was so important for him to keep reading, to keep studying, to keep preaching, to keep doing what God called him to do. And so for those of you that don't know much about Jeremiah, Jeremiah was a prophet, and he pronounced God's judgment on the people in the time of their wickedness. And he was really concerned because there were quite a few people teaching false doctrines, and that people were not naturally gravitating to the things of God. They continued to follow the ways of the system, or the ways of the world. And so I like that one of the scriptures that was said to him, or when God was speaking to him, it wasn't a scripture, then he was just talking, praise God. Wouldn't it be cool for us to be documented that God spoke to us? But nevertheless, he does. You got to try it. But nevertheless, it says, restrain your voice from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work will be rewarded, declared the Lord. And they will return to the land of the enemy. So there is hope for the future, declares the Lord. Your children will return to their own land. And so God continues to encourage us, even in the midst of our sorrows, in the midst of our sadness, in the midst of our loss, in the midst of our pain, encourage us to let us know that our assignments are not in vain. His word is not in vain. So nevertheless, we got to keep preaching. We got to keep moving. And so I like the fact that Jeremiah was faithful, and that he was strong, and that he was challenged. But even through his challenges, he was still able to execute God's word. And so even though people called him the weeping prophet, and they called him the weeping prophet because his heart was tender. And so I had to be reminded. My girlfriend told me, she's like, Leah, you know, the reason why you hurt hard is because you love hard. And so you want people to be right. And I really do. I really do. And so I love the fact that when I was reading the story of Jeremiah, of getting to know a little information about him, it was cool to know that there's power in a name. And so Jeremiah's name means he shall be exalted. And that's the Hebrew version. And so even though he wasn't looking to be exalted. He just wanted the people to acknowledge God. But because of his works, because of his assignment, people exalted him. And so it gave me a pause and made me think, well, God made me think, to understand, here I am concerned about the forefathers and concerned about, you know, the leaders of this world that have done all these amazing things, and did their works go, and did they go unrewarded? And here it is, we're talking about them. And so, yes, just like Jeremiah, they probably had challenges trying to make sure that they made the laws correctly, or that they stated them correctly, that they were worded correctly, that they fought opposition to make sure that people understood of the injustices that were going on in the world, and how being peaceful and being misunderstood and misinterpreted, not interpreting what they were saying properly, and how they went through a lot, but they still made an effort. And because of their effort, we see the fruit of their labor. I'm praying and believing that they saw the fruit of their labor. Yesterday, I had a wonderful opportunity. My kids had volleyball practice yesterday, and so as I was waiting, I thought, well, Lord, I need to do something, because I can't just stay in this gloom. And so I went to the Martin Luther King Community Center. And so I went with the mindset of getting my kids something to acknowledge me, have them excited about studying these people, especially Martin Luther King, because this is the week we study Martin Luther King. But I was so moved when I was there, and I went by myself, and I was able to really just embrace some of the things that he said. And so they had his speech on the loudspeaker, just they had it looped. And so it was the I Had a Dream speech, and it was the letter that he wrote in the Birmingham jail, and it was a couple of other things that he had quoted. But just the ambience of all the different people there, all different colors, all different religious backgrounds, old, young, it was beautiful to see that everyone was coming out to acknowledge his life, and not only his life, but his wife, and how awesome it was that God allowed, you know, for me, of course, I'm thinking, you know, deeper than what it was, but I did, as I sat there, the door lined up for him to meet Coretta. God lined up to make sure that their lives, she had her own thing going on, he had his own thing going on, but he knew, and he aligned their steps to come together, because he knew that both of their efforts would be significant for us today. And so how God has done that for each one of us. But if we don't acknowledge him, if we don't find out what our gifts and our talents are to manifest what he has called for us all to do, because in Jeremiah 29:11, it says we all have a plan to prosper. And if we don't do the assignment that God has for us, it makes it just that much harder for not just our generation, but generations to come to accomplish the things that God has set for them. Now, trust and believe God's word is not going to come back to him void, so he'll have someone do it. But wouldn't it be cool to do your assignment that God gave you, the best in you to do, that you made the right choice and was about your business and did what God called you to do? And that's why I love the fact that we can get sad, we can get down, we can get despondent. But nevertheless, the word has to go forward, and we have to be obedient to do what God calls us to do, hook or crook. And so I'm grateful for the Martin Luther King Center. I'm grateful for all the monuments and all the quotes that were carved in the walls and carved on the ground, and how their bodies were laid and stayed in this beautiful pond. And I love me some waterfalls, and how it was a waterfall, and how the water trickled down, and I was at peace and could really hear and absorb. And I had to believe that God orchestrated that day just for me. Now, I know other people are blessed, because I talked to a few people that had traveled, and we talked about how one lady I met was from Philadelphia. And she said, we have the Liberty Bell. And she said, I rarely ever go over there. And how we have the beauty of having landmarks and things that people did what God called him to do and left a piece of it for us to enjoy and see and to be marveled, and we don't take advantage of it. And so I said to myself, I'm going to take more conscious steps to appreciate the things that God has allowed me to do and take advantage of being able to see the things that he caused for us to see. And so even yesterday, I took my kids. They, of course, didn't want to go to where I had been. But I found out that there was a waterfall close by. And so we went to the waterfall, and just being able to see how God has just blessed us to be able to see just rushing water and see the plants and the trees and even see the moss hanging from the trees, how beautiful that is. And how my daughter told me that somebody had taken a picture of that and had won an award. And just how God created that environment for that person to take that picture. I mean, so we have rewards all around us if we just do what God calls us to do, even the simple things. I'm sure all of us are not looking to be canonized and placed into history books for the things that we've done. But think about our family members that will be blessed by the things that we've done and things that we've accomplished by just being obedient to the things of God. And so it's so important for us to speak up when we need to speak up, to talk to God when we need to talk to God, to seek the wisdom of God, that he gives it to us liberally. And so I was looking, and it said one of the greatest gifts that God gave us was wisdom. And he gives it to us liberally because it works both in our intellect and our will. But the most precious gift that God gave us, of course, was allowing himself to come and to be sacrificed and to be tortured the way that he was tortured so that we could have an opportunity to be forgiven and to live forever. And so it says that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father by him. And so a good, great gift is wisdom. A precious gift, of course, is he left a little bit of himself with us. Amen. Can you imagine? A little piece of God is inside of all of us, of those of us who yield to him. But I want us to make sure that we understand that the word is, the, at least for me, it is the greatest gift, because it gives us a direction. It shows us what we must do to stay encouraged, to get focused when the enemy throws all the stuff that he has at us. It tells us what we must do, why we, it is important for us to put on our armor, to have our mind bound to the mind of Christ, to have our organs and our breastplate on so that it can protect our hearts, that it can protect our liver and our kidneys and all those things that the enemy tries to punch with all the foolishness that goes on in this system. But if we learn that we are the righteousness of God, we will do the things that God has called us to do to protect our organs, to make sure that we keep the belt of truth on, that we will know to put them cookies down. Amen. I'm still going to eat some cookies, but nevertheless. But when we've had enough, amen, we put the cookies down. But all the truth, I mean, it's more than just the truth of God, which is great and it's amazing. But sometimes truth is just not associating with this type of foolishness no more, or not speaking this way anymore, or not doing these certain things. That's truth. That is your truth. I mean, I have often gone into major debates with people, and they're your truth, my truth. No, it's only God's truth. It's only God's truth. And if his truth is reigns in all of our lives, if we just would be obedient to it, praise God, we would all live better, and we would all do things, because then we could have our feet firmly and walk in the peace that God has for us. And then we'll be firm enough to stand flat-footed, to hold the shield and to hold that sword to fight off the things that the enemy throws at us. And so one of the things, you know, I love myself, that God helped me to understand, it was 4 A's, assess the root. What is going on? What had me so bogged down that I just couldn't understand? But does it matter at the end of the day? God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. He has a whole plan, master plan, from the time that he created and separated the waters and put the sun and the moon and the stars. And I got a problem because the forefathers died before I thought they should have. Martin and Malcolm didn't become best friends. Are you? Come on. We got to get it together. God's plan is bigger than that. And so because they were obedient, they did their part, and they are waiting to gather with the rest of us so that we can do our parts, praise God. So we all, praise God, will live intimately with God and praise him and do the things we're supposed to do, because this system will be different from the way we know it. But in the meantime, in the between time, we have to make sure that when we are not where we're supposed to be, if we're not feeling the way that we need to feel, if we're not growing in the areas that we are, find the root, assess what is going on. Where did I stumble? Where did I mess up? Where did I go left when God told me to go right? Or where did I go right when God told me to go? Or where did I keep going when he told me to stop? Or where did I stop when he told me to keep going? We have to assess the root of the problem, start there. And once we find out, we have to acknowledge, what did I do wrong? Was I stuck in my emotions? And so back to my mentor, Dr. Bliss, when I was like, you know, so many people, when they get to God, they have all these questions about how cute was Jezebel for David to run out of his clothes, and why did Eve eat the apple or eat the fruit or whatever fruit it was? What fruit was it? You know, all these questions. And if I had a question, my question would be, Lord, why did you put mind and emotions together? Because I believe if it was just our mind, we could be smart enough not to do certain things. But when our emotions get caught up with it, it takes a whole nother meaning, because now, praise God, our will is in jeopardy. Because if our emotions are overreactive and our heart is not really set on the things of you, then amen, our will fall, because we'll fall to the ways of the world. We'll fall to the ways of our flesh. It's just... That would be my question. But nevertheless, he had a plan. And so because I can acknowledge the emotion I have, I'm sad. Why are you sad, Leah? I don't really know, Lord. Help me understand. I want to assess the root of why. And then I want to acknowledge, what do I need to do to change that? Because you said that you would never leave me nor forsake me. And you said we wouldn't be here always. You said that we were. There's a time to live and there's a time to die. And we have to accept that. And so those of us that are still living have to keep moving. It said, let the dead bury the dead. And so we got to keep moving. And so we acknowledge the life of the people that we love that are gone. Absolutely. But because they're gone, and one minister once said, I don't know nobody that has died that is begged to come back. they are in peace where they are. And so we got to get to a place where we can be at peace when we close our eyes for the last time. Amen. So as the root of the problem, acknowledge that you have the emotion. And then, praise God, acclaim who God is. Rejoice and know who God is. And so that's what I had to do. I had to get back in my word. That's why I said the greatest gift to me is the word. I had to get back in the word. And so it was like, okay, Jeremiah was sad. Jeremiah cried. Let's read about Jeremiah. And so the book that I stressed, of course, 29:11 is always great, because, you know, it tells me that I have purpose and that God has a purpose for me. But the scripture that God gave me to focus on was Jeremiah 31. And so the whole passage is pretty cool. But if I could just highlight 31 and 37, and it said, the time is coming when I will make a brand new covenant with Israel and Judah. It won't be a repeat of the covenant I made with their ancestors when I took them by the hand and led them out of Egypt. They broke the covenant, even though I did my part as their master, God decreed. This is a brand new covenant I will make with Israel when the time comes, and I will put my laws within them and write them on their hearts. Remember, the righteousness of God. And I will be their God. They will be my people. They will no longer go around setting up schools to teach each other about God. They will know me firsthand, the dull and the bright, the smart and the slow. I'll wipe the slate clean for each of them. I'll forget they ever sinned, God decreed. Now, praise God, this is the message version of it. But nevertheless, that is the covenant he made for us, that he wife's a slate clean. I can repent, get it together, and keep it moving. I don't have to stay in this funk. I don't have to stay in this these grave clothes, if you will, of sadness. God gave these men purpose. They fulfilled their assignments, and they were about God's business. I better hightail it and get myself together and do what God called me to do. And when God showed me what Jeremiah's name means, then praise God, I had to go back to what my name means. Amen. And my name, praise God, is found in Genesis 30:13. And it says, and Leah said, amen. I don't believe that was me, but you never know. No, I do know. But it still got my name on it. Amen. And it says happiness. That's prophetic. Ain't it? Amen. Who knew I was collecting happy faces long before I saw this scripture? But amen, when I saw it, I hollered. But nevertheless, it says, and Leah said, happy I am, for the women will call me happy. So she named that baby Asher. So you know, when I had my last baby, I thought for sure it was going to be a boy, and I was going to name her Asher. I probably still should have. But nevertheless, it said in the King James Version, Leah said, happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed. I have a blessed name, and God has called me to make people happy, to motivate, to encourage, to educate them about the things of God, so that not only will they assess the root of their problems, but they will acknowledge that they have emotions. It's okay. Do what you need to do. Get them right and acclaim who God is, and then arise and get up and do what God has called you to do. It is no time for us to be weeping. We got to take this off and keep it moving. Yes, God gives us time to grieve and to get ourselves together, but we can't stay in it. We got to get up. We got to move. We got to be about his business, because he gave us a new covenant, and he said that he will forgive us. And so we got to acknowledge that, and we got to tell people, God will forgive you. Whatever you're going through, he will forgive you and keep you moving. And we got to warn people that there are evil prophets and people that are pretending to be sheep, but they wolves, y'all, and it's our responsibility to call these people out. It is no reason for Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, and I've watched their stories and listened to things, studying for my lesson, how they were very few. I mean, there were other leaders too, but God has called us all to step up and step out. Why do we need a leader to tell us to feed those that are less fortunate than us? It was so funny yesterday, because I'm always an advocate. When I see people counting change, now praise God, I don't have but a few pennies myself these days, but nevertheless, I still will help. And so yesterday, I was 60 cents short, but I had it in the car, and I told the lady I'd be back, and I went to the car and get it. And when I came back, she said, the man behind you paid for you. I'm like, that's what I'm talking about. Folks is doing their thing. I didn't know him. He didn't know me. He didn't even wait for me to say thank you. Nothing. I mean, we just do what we do for people, because God has called us to take care of our brothers and sisters. When you see someone in need, amen, pray for them. If God has not given you an assignment of what to do or how to do it, pray. Pray. It's free and it's easy, and it don't even have to be deep. We passed by two accidents yesterday, and we stopped and prayed for both of them. Lord, in Jesus' name, you handle that, because you know the situation better than we do, and they're on the other side of the road, so there's nothing we can do, but we can pray that your hand be on the ambulance people, that you, whatever necessary for them to get to the hospital, that you make the crooked place straight, that you make sure that their family is not grieved or don't have the wisdom and knowledge to know what to do and how to reach their family members. Lord, work that situation out. And we kept on down the street. So can you believe if something happens to me, praise God, I'm trusting and believe somebody's going to pray for me. Not that I did it for that reason, but amen, saints, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to lead people back to God. And so who's in the car with me? My children. So now they know. Whenever they see something, they better do it. But nevertheless, we do things so that others can see the light and see the God in us. Just like we have our leaders of, there's more, of course, than Martin and Malcolm. But, you know, like I said, because I studied those two for these past 2 weeks for my students. But there are so many leaders that have stepped up to the line and did what God called them to do. And because of that, our lives have changed. We pray for those that are in official offices. We pray for those that they will step up when God calls for them to step up. Ministers and teachers and missionaries, all those people that are on the battle. Do you know how discouraging it is for us to be up night after night, miss opportunities with our family because we have to study, because we have to minister, and then people don't even remember what you talked about? They didn't even take the scripture home and read it. You know, I think about, you know, Pastor Beverly that was on last week. You know, she ministers every Sunday night, you know, and how she stays up, you know, and studies most of the day. You know, she could go to church during the day with her children, but she's preparing for the service that she does in the evening. And you know, and how sad it must be, you know, when people don't pay attention or they half listen. I mean, thanks, y'all. This can be discouraging at times when you're ministering, you're taking time. And I know, you know, as parents, we know we teach our children, and they don't listen, and they do the opposite. And it's like, well, you know, what am I doing? You know, I'm struggling. I'm working. I want to stay in the bed like y'all, but I have to get up. I have to go to work. And this is what you do. You're disobedient for no reason, just because you just don't feel like it. Well, I mean, in the scheme of things, when I'm assessing the root, God reminded me, well, how do you think I feel? I died. I took stripes. I was spit on and had a crown of thorns placed on my head. And y'all continue to sin in my face. So things, we got to do better. We do. We got to do better. And so we can, and we will. Because he said that he has a plan for us to prosper. I know I want my reward here. I know I'm going to get a reward when I get to heaven, because I'm going to have eternal life, and I'm going to be up there aiming and doing what everybody do with crowns and jewels. But I want some of them crowns and jewels on this side. And so in order for me to do what God has called me to do and see some of these rewards is to be about my assignment. So thanks. We got to be about our assignments. When you see injustice, speak up. And it doesn't have to be, quote, unquote, race-related. It could just be, you know, children lying to each other or my children slapping each other for no reason. We got to stop that. We got to show them that God is love and that we are to show love to one another at all times so that they can see the God in us. It is high time that we get it together, saints. And so, I'm sorry if this wasn't a heavy-duty, juicy message, but it really did come from my heart because it's time for us to step up and be about what God has called us to be about, because I don't want to be a weeping prophet. Amen. I want to rejoice because I can see the fruit of the labor of people doing what God has called all of us to do, that we are being about his business and doing our assignments the way that God gave them to us, that we're using our gifts and that we don't have to be told by somebody to do our gifts, that we want to do it because we know the sacrifice that God did for us so that we could freely do what he's given us to do. Amen. Amen. Well, I learned something this week, and I said, ooh, amen. I'm going to add that to my lesson. And so my daughter was so excited yesterday. She said, oh, mommy, you listened to the word yesterday? Oh, because it was Sunday. I said, baby girl, I listen to the word every day. What you talking about? Don't do that. I listen to the word. But this is what the minister said. And I said, oh, I love that. He said, oh, this message was good to me. Amen. But this message was good to me. But I hope that you have been encouraged. I hope that you have been educated. I hope that you have been empowered to do the things that God has called you to do. Amen. I always, always, always dedicate the broadcast to my granny's favorite song, but I can't because for whatever reason my screen is black. I don't understand. It went off. So, Granny, you know that every praise belongs to God because it does. And so I wouldn't dare try to sing it nevertheless. But I can say the lyrics if that would help somebody. Praise God. But before we get into that, I want to make sure that you tune in next week because we'll have another empowering word where we will be encouraged, where we will be motivated to study a little bit more on what God would have for us. And then, praise God, we'll be empowered to make those necessary changes and then empower someone else to do it. Amen. And so whatever you do, you have to start your day with prayer. Pray throughout your day and then end your day with prayer. And remember, if you're having some moments, find the root of it and then assess the root. Acknowledge the emotion that you have with it. And then acclaim who God is and then arise and do what God has called you to do. So now, like I said, I can't sing, but I'm going to say the words. But it says, every praise is to our God. Glory, hallelujah, is to our God. Every praise is to our God. Can you believe that? On one accord, we have to believe that every praise is to our God. And so, oh, look, my daughter is so sweet. She's going to play it from her computer. Go ahead, push play, baby. God bless y'all, and have a wonderful evening. Tune in again next week. Be blessed.